session number 22079.
Mr. Chamberlain, Reel 1. Right, Mr. Chamberlain, could you tell me when and where you were born?
Yes, I was born in a little village called Kirby Malsard. It's near Ripon.
And how many brothers and sisters did you have?
What a pretty large family, really. I had 2 brothers and 3 sisters.
Could you name them? Name them?
Yes, there was Elsie, Daisy and Muriel. And Alec and Lewis.
And when were you born?
I was born on the 24th of February, 1918.
Now, what did your dad do?
Well, he was a regular soldier. He was a sergeant in the Black Watch for quite a number of years.
And he was still a soldier when you were born?
No, he finished just after the... I think in 1918, when I was born, he retired then. And then he took up, casual labouring, because he had no experience in the trade, because army was all his life.
So, what kind of place was this village in those days?
Oh, it was a nice little village. I still go occasionally, even now, to see what it's going on like, but it's got built up, and I'm afraid the whole atmosphere has gone really now. It's about 30 miles from here.
So your dad was a casual labourer. What kind of work was he doing?
He had a friend who was a builder, and he did work for him.
And how long had he been in the army? I think off the tape you'd said he was...
My dad? Oh, about 20-some years he was in. Yeah.
Do you have any memories of the general strike? The general strike?
Well, I remember, you mean in 1926? Well, I have vivid memories. I'm only about 8 years old, really, but it was a job that we used to go sticking into the woods, being in the country. We managed to, it appeared to me as though we managed all right with the sticking, and we pulled through.
Sticking, you mean gathering firewood?
That's right, yeah, we'll call it sticking, going sticking, yeah.
Was your dad involved at all in the strike?
Pardon?
Was he involved at all in the strike?
No, he carried on working for this builder chap.
Now, you mentioned your brothers and sisters. At what stage were they older than you?
Yes, actually, I'm the youngest. I was the youngest. Eldest sister, she went to live in with her husband at King's Lynn, and they both died down in Suffolk. And then there was my sister Daisy. That's her who I had the fish and chip shop with, and she we went to Horsforth, and we sold this shop in Horsforth, and we bought another one in Leeds.
We'll get to that, you know, as we move forward.
Now,
were some of your brothers and sisters already grown up when you were born? Were they?
Yes, the oldest was 12 years older than me, Elsie, and Daisy was 11 years older than me, and Alec 9 years, Louis 7, and Muriel 5 years older than me.
And then what kind of work have they moved into? You've mentioned your sister Daisy.
So my sister did it. She went out to be a housekeeper for a lady at Ben Riddin in Ilkley, and she was there quite a number of years. And she got the call, I suppose, for a fish shop, and she got this one, and it was not too busy for her, and I was working in a gent's outfitting shop in Ripon, and I was only young. I thought, well, fish and chips, it's calling me, and so I went and joined her.
Now, where did you go to school, your first school that you went to?
A school? It was a village school at Kirby Malsard.
And what were your best subjects? What were your favourite subjects?
I liked geography and history. And I left when I was 14. But work was very bad to get in the village, and I got a job in at Boots Chemist in Ripon. There was I was a porter and errand boy.
And what was your first wage?
Pardon?
Can you remember your first wage?
My first wage was 7 and 6 pence a week, and had to cycle from Kirby to Ripon, which is 7 miles, and 7 miles back at night. I was 14 miles a day I used to do on push bike, besides running about on with errands on shop bike. And then the chap next door to the chemist, he was a gents outfitter, and he asked me if I would like to come and be his assistant. So I did. I went for half a crown a week. I got 10 shillings then, and I really enjoyed being there, and I was selling gents' clothing and hosiery and all that. And then I was there about 4 years. Then my sister had the fish open and she asked me if I would like to go. And my mother says, "Go and help my sister at Horsforth." So I went. And I'd there about a year, and then we come into Leeds.
Now, when you moved from employment with the gents outfitters, when you were working for your sister, were you more or less in business than with your sister?
Yes, well, she made it a partnership when we come into Leeds, from Horsforth to Leeds, and that was in February. That was in February 39. Yes,
now,
39.
So you'd really drifted into that job without
yes,
much...
Yes, oh, absolutely, yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you were at school, when you thought about what career you wanted to go into, what were your thoughts at school?
Well, being a country school, it was all farming. And my dad says, "Well, you're not going to farming, so I'll keep you at home first." And he didn't want me to go into farming. And I wasn't very keen at it either. So this job at Boots is cropped up. My sister working at Studley Royal, at a big house. The housemaid there, she knew of a job at Boots as chemist. And I went down and got it.
Now, so most of the people you went to school with, what kind of work did they go and do?
Well, farming mostly. And another one... he went to work in Ripon at a cabinet factory. Another one went to work at an engineering place in Ripon. They nearly all had to go out of the village to get work, because there's nothing much in the village. There's the Kirby Malzer Dairy Company. So one or two went there to work.
Now, was there any... chance of the grammar school, was that an option for
things? Oh yes, if you was enough brain, I suppose you could have got down there, but there weren't very many, I'm afraid.
So about how many of your class do you think would have?
I only knew of two that went to Ripon Grammar School.
Now, so you had your chip shop, working with your sister.
Yes.
What was the business like?
Was it a good business?
Oh
yes, it was not bad at all, and she kept it going during the war on what she could, because there was no fish, and she used to get sausage meat and make these cakes with 2 slices of potatoes, and she struggled through the war like that.
So how old were you when you went into that business?
I was about 20 when I went to Horsforth.
So this is about 1938, that kind of period.
That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, what was your first awareness of the possibility of a war breaking out?
Well, I was that excited about being in business in the fish and chip shop, and we did quite well. And it was a factory shop, you know, factories all the way around about us. They used to come with the fish and chip orders. But... because the war crowds were sort of gathering, and then the time came for me to go and register, and there I was.
Could you just describe that process of registering, what you had to do?
And
the process of registering. When
I don't know what date it was, but my name come up and number to go and register. So I went and registered, just waited for me, well, what the next lead was, and that was to go for a medical for in Leeds. There was 8 doctors, testings and all that, and I passed out A1, and then I went back up, waited for me call up. Then my call up came on the 8th of August 1940.
Now, you registered for call up. Did you express any preference to the authorities, which arm of the service you wanted to go in, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force?
Well, you could put your name down, but I put for the Army.
And why was
actually
that?
Following my father, you see, was. And
what was your father's opinion of this? Hmm? What did your father think of you going into the Army?
Well, he gave me some idea, you know, and advised me to go into the Army. And
what was his advice?
Just because he was, I suppose, he wanted me to go.
What was his advice?
Yeah, and, well, I got called up, as I say, and did my training at Sheffield.
Now, so he'd advised you to go into the Army.
Yeah.
What advice had he given you? He'd been a professional soldier.
Well, he said he'd like it, he'd settle down to it, because it was wartime nearly. And anyway, I went and I took to it, really.
Now, before we talk about that, now you've mentioned off the tape, your nickname in the Army was Nev, as in Neville Chamberlain.
Yeah, that's right.
Now,
yeah.
Do you have any memories of Chamberlain's agreement, you know, when he went to Munich and...
Yes, well, peace in our time, you know, that famous letter he held up when he got off the plane.
What did you think about that at the time?
Well, you're young and you think, oh, well, let's hope so. But my dad was very sceptical about this, him and his note. He says, oh, I don't know. He says, you can't trust this fella, Hitler. And which you couldn't, really, in the long run.
Do you have any memories of anybody in the area getting involved in the Spanish Civil War, you know, the International Brigade?
No, I don't remember anyone, really.
Yeah. What about the so-called black shirts, you know, Oswald Mosley?
Oh, I wish it was Oswald Mosley. In fact, some of these black shirts that came to our village about 1936 or 7, something like that it would be. And there was shouting on the village cross and what they were going to do, what they weren't going to do. Man, I'm only young here. And they were dressed up in the black shirts. And anyway, they didn't get such a very good welcome from the older population. And they got their marching orders very quick. And we didn't see them anymore.
So there was no support for them round in the local area?
That's right. There'd be about 7 or 8 of them, I think.
Now, your father had been in the Army.
Hmm.
Now, other veterans have talked about how they would join the Territorial Army or they would, you know, volunteer so that they would have a choice of unit. Did that ever go through your mind or any of your friends' minds?
No, not really, no. Just he advised me, he advised me to go into the Service Corps, in the Army Service Corps, and I put that down.
Why did he advise you for that?
Pardon?
Why did he advise you for that?
Well, I don't know. He'd been knocked about as much as Black Watch during Boer War and Great War, his wounds. And he advised me to go into a Service Corps in. Yeah.
So, could you just describe the day of your call up and what happened?
The day I got called up. I got my travelling voucher to Sheffield. And when we got there, went on the train and got to Sheffield railway station. And there the army wagon was waiting. And we were, what of us lads, with little tatchy cases very close to be returned. And he shouts, over here, over here. He knew what we were for. and they put us in the back of a truck, and away we went to what they call Blue Coat School at Sheffield. And there we did our 8 weeks training, driving, drills, oh, everything that we do, parades and that. And then we all got passed out with one thing and another. And I met Alfie there.
That's Alfie Granger.
Alfie Granger, yeah. And we'll mates all the way through.
Now, could you just take us through a typical day during this initial training period?
In your training?
Yeah. You're a civilian, you've just arrived. What did they teach you during these 8 weeks, and how did they teach you?
Well, as soon as we got there, we did it to step in line, your name and number, and given a number, one thing or another. And then I went to fill our palliasses, a great big heap of straw. I went to go fill our own palliasses, and we went to take them then to a billet, only like a private house. And there'd be about a dozen of us in here, maybe more. And we got bedded down for the night, and that was it. And next morning, shout, come on parade. To go on parade, then we went to march down to Blue Coat School. It was a great big area, a typical parading ground, you know, what they had. I suppose it would be a sports field when it was a school. And there we got lined up again on parade and drilling up and down the parade ground. Left, right, backwards and forwards. And then later on we got detailed to go on a driving instructions, and there were about a dozen of us in the back of the lorry. Anyway, it was my turn to go, and I went up, climb up this great big wagon, and he says, all right, get going. The engine was still running from land before me, and I got going. He says, that's your clutch, this is your gear, then that's your handbrake. He says, take that off, and I just put a bit of pressure on here, and off you go. I says, right, so my wheel was flat, a great big thing, and I got going. I only went about 12 yards, something like that. He says, OK, he says, sent next one in. I says, have I failed? He says, no, you've passed. Anyway, I passed, and we still had to go for a bit more used to wagons, you know, but oh dear.
So they were learning you to drive during this first 8 week period?
Pardon?
During this first 8 weeks you were being learned to drive?
Yes, you got on a wagon and, you know.
Did you learn to drive before? Had you learned to drive in civilian life, or was this where you knew?
Driving before? Mm. No. Well, I'm saying no, but my brother who worked in a garage, he used to come home with a van, and sometimes he would let me have a go at this in the van.
Now, so you were learning how to march with the drill. Mm-hmm. You were learning you to drive.
Yeah.
What else were they learning you?
Rifle drill, and then went up to Totley Moors outside Sheffield. There we did on rifle range, shooting practice.
And what rifle was it?
Rifle, yes, the Lee Enfield rifle. And map reading. Each were given a little directions, and you had to finish up in this village. Well, the two of us, and we read this map, and of course we'd had lessons about it. And we'll go over this way. Went through an orchard, and went through an orchard, and we eventually come to this village. Well, there's some more lads there waiting whom we knew were in our squad. And we got on the lorry and away back to Sheffield into Blue Coat School. Back home and then and tea.
What did you think of the army food?
Food? Well, I couldn't grumble at it. But some of them, they grumble at anything, really. They grumble at the Ritz food, I suppose, at some of them. But I got away with it all right.
So you found it quite palatable?
Yes, all right.
What about army discipline? you're a civilian, you'd come into
Yeah, of course.
How'd you deal with that?
My dad used to say, well, no, obey it last order, you know. The last order you get, you obey it. So I did too, and it paid off, really.
So he'd give you a few pointers about how to deal.
That's right, yes.
What was his other advice, and what other things did he tell you?
Oh, about the army life. Oh, quite a few, really, what I should do, what I shouldn't do, and you'll find this and you'll find that. But one thing stuck in my own mind, always obey your last order of command. Even if you get half a dozen, it's the last one you obey. So it's true as well when I look back.
Now, when you mentioned you met up with Alfie Granger, and we've talked off the tape, he was with you all the way through the war. Were most of the people, the recruits, were they mostly mostly Yorkshiremen?
What, Alfie?
No, the other recruits besides him.
Oh, there was some Yorkshire lads in as well, and quite a few from Lancashire. They were in our squad.
Now, who was giving the orders at this stage? Did you have any contact with officers at all?
Well, at Blowcoat School. There was one time we were doing rifle drill, and the corporal said, all right, we'll have a 5 minutes break. And laid the rifles down, and we're just having a smoke. And once a chap come running over, and he said to our corporal, who's in charge of us, he says, what I gather would be drive a chamberlain to report at COs. And our corporal shouted, chamberlain, go across to the officer, he wants a word with you. Well, I didn't know what this was for. So off I went, smartly, across the parade ground, and there's a captain with him. This captain says, have you ever been in the Boy Scouts, Chamberlain? I says, no, I'm afraid. I was born in the country with nothing like that. He says, oh dear. And anyway, one or two more questions, and he says, all right then, I'll go back to your squad. I went back to the squad, and I learned out later that it was in the thought of our officer material. Why, I don't know, but they just picked me up. But unfortunately, I didn't make it, and that was it.
What did you think about that?
Pardon?
What did you think about becoming an officer?
Well, I don't know. I'd never had education for anything like that, really, but of course, I don't know what had happened, I'm sure.
So you weren't bothered one way or the other, really?
Hmm?
You weren't bothered?
Oh, no, I just settled back into the routine of...
Did your dad have any advice about that?
Not that I know of, no. No, he just singled me out. Well, it was the name or what, I don't know.
Now, you mentioned Alfie Granger. Were there any other friends from this period?
Oh, yes, yeah, there was Ginger Freer. It was Ginger as well. He came from York and he was a tailor. He lived at number one, Stamford Bridge Road, Dunnington, York. Remember, these 60 years since. Marvellous, isn't it?
Now, you were at the Sheffield Bluecoat School. Mm-hmm. What about time off? You know, you were doing all this training during the day. What were you doing?
What for time off?
You know, spare time. What were you able to do?
But in our own time? Well, not much, really. I wasn't one for drinking at such early age. We just did nothing, really. Really, you were too tired, too worn out to do much when you got back to your billet.
What about the army pay compared to civilian life?
Army pay? I forget what it was now, but I got a bit of advice from my dad here. He says, look, while you're in England, don't allow anything to your mum. Don't allow anything. But when you know you're going abroad, give her half your wage, which I did do, and it was all there when I came back home. She never spent it. So that's a bit more of advice he gave me.
Now, you've mentioned your initial driver training, and they said you'd passed the test. What was it? Did they still keep the training
I'm not with you just now.
You mentioned your driver you were trained as a driver at this stage.
Yeah.
And you had this like brief lesson. Was just there any more training after that, driving?
Oh yes, you went now just to keep others company really. But we nearly all passed. In our 8 weeks we all passed.
Can you remember what kind of trucks they were at this stage?
Hmm?
Can you remember what kind of trucks they were?
Trucks were there, actually there were Albions and all sorts of great big things, army trucks. And going on these narrow moorland roads up at Totley and the moors outside Sheffield. But we handled them all right.
Were there any that were more difficult to handle than the others? Were any kind of favourite vehicles?
You preferred such and such a truck to the others, you know. And you tried to wangle it to get on, but you just had to get what was there.
Now, you mentioned you had rifle training.
Yeah.
Did they train you on the Bren gun?
No. No, we had to, just the rifles we got.
And what about grenades?
No, we never got no training for that.
So the only weapon you were trained on was a rifle?
Yes, we got trained with drilling and musketry and all that, you know. And shooting, practice.
So, you had your 8 weeks training.
Pardon?
You had your 8 weeks training. What happened then?
I'm sorry.
You had your 8 weeks training.
Oh, yes.
What happened then? After
yes,
that?
Well, we was at the same time, I think, where I was sent to now. I think I went down to Seven Oaks in Kent. I went down, I think it was down there I went. And I'm still with Alpha, you know. Still with him. And then we came back. Oh, that's just during the when the invasion was expected. That's where we was in London, went down to London. Then we came back again to Bradford in the Lidzik Green area. We were in billets, you know, back-to-back houses, and there were about a dozen of us in these billets.
Now, was everybody from your training squad, were they all posted to Seven Oaks?
No, no. No, there was just about one or two of us. You know, well, I think there were three of us went. And Alfie and I was and another lad.
And was that, you mentioned off the tip, the 9th Light Field Ambulance. Was that the unit at this stage that you were sent to? Was it the 9th Light Field Ambulance at this stage that you were sent to?
Not just yet.
So which unit do you think you were sent to?
Hmm?
Which unit do you think you were with in Seven Oaks?
No, I can't remember who was really yourself in me.
Now, you mentioned this was at the height of the invasion scare.
Yeah.
At the Battle of Britain. What was people's morale like?
People around about.
Yeah, that you knew, your friends, Alfie, yourself.
Oh, well, they were all right. Some come from walking, which wasn't very far away from where we were. And let's see now. I don't know if... Yeah, I forget now what happened then. But we come back to Bradford and all that, but the details are down in Seven Oaks. It's a bit easy, really.